So God's purpose in Ephesus was not simply to get people saved and build a couple churches. His Ephesus was to overthrow the darkness and demonstrate his power over all the works of the devil. His purpose was to crush the gates of hell that were firmly established in that city because they held multitudes in bondage and slavery to darkness. And so that brings us to our passage today in Acts chapter 19, starting at verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And I'll pause there. I just want to talk about that for a moment before we go on. Wow. This passage says that God not only did miracles, did unusual miracles, amazing miracles, which included taking either aprons or handkerchiefs or cloths that had been on his body, taking them to sick people or demon-possessed people, and those diseases and those spirits would leave them, and they would be healed and delivered. And it was because of the power, the glory, the anointing of God that was upon the Apostle Paul. You remember when Jesus had his transfiguration, his clothes became white, whiter than any fuller could make them, like the sun, as that glory from Christ just radiated out through him so that even his clothes glowed. That's what was on Paul, that glory of God, that anointing was on him so that even his clothes were literally dripping with the anointing of God. And when they would take those articles of clothing and put them on people, that anointing of God would literally drive out the demonic oppression or the disease. When my daughter Lisa was a little girl, where is that girl? Oh, in the other room. That's okay. Good. I can say what I want. When my daughter Lisa was a little girl, we had this electric fence that separated us from the farm next door, which is a good thing because they had a bull, you know, and cows and all kinds of stuff over there. And my mother-in-law wanted to show her little granddaughter why she should not touch the electric, or that she should not touch the electric fence. And so she's holding her hand and she walks it over to this barbed wire electric fence, and she's pointing to it and saying, "Now don't touch that." But she pointed a little too close, and when she herself touched the fence, Lisa tells us that they both did a dance out in the backyard. Because the power went from that electric fence through her grandmother into her own body. And they're sitting there going, ah, 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 ah. And I'm sure the lesson really took hold. I don't think she forgot that. In fact, I know she didn't. But it was kind of like that, because the power, the Shekinah glory of God was on Paul so strong that that power and energy and that anointing went out of Paul into those clothes, and then from those clothes and cloths into the people that it was laid upon. And that anointing is like fire to demonic spirits. The same glory of God, the same breath of God that brings us life. When Scripture talks about hell, it says the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it. That same fire, that is that power that is a blessing and glory and joy to us, is torment and fire to the unrighteous or to the principalities and powers of darkness. So when that anointed apron or handkerchief was laid on those people, man, them demons fled. They got out of Dodge, man, because it was torture to them. It was painful. It was agonizing as that Shekinah glory of God came into that place. Praise God. And so they would flee. And if there were diseases that were demonically rooted, not all diseases are, but some is, then when the demon was gone, the disease was gone. And so people were not only getting delivered, they were getting healed. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened in Scripture. This is throughout the Bible. You see stuff like this. How many people have heard of Elisha? Okay, most people? Okay. Elisha was a prophet in the Old Testament. His mentor was Elijah. And when Elijah was taken up to heaven by angels and chariots of fire, Elisha prayed that a double portion of that anointing would fall on him, and it did. Well, Elisha had quite a spectacular ministry, but one day he died and they buried him. And it says in 2 Kings 13, then Elisha died and they buried him. And the raiding bands, I guess marauders and outlaws and stuff, the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That glory of God that was still on Elisha's bones, even after his flesh had deteriorated, that power that was still there when this dead man was let down and fell on those bones, it literally brought him back to life. You can just imagine, here they are, they're in hiding, you know, and there's the outlaws and murderous, you know, rampaging raiders, whatever they were. And they got this dead guy, and they're like, well, put him in the tomb, man. And so they lower him down in there, and they're hiding out from these guys. And this guy hits the bone, suddenly he's brought back to life, and you can imagine him stands up on his feet, praise God, I'm alive, wow! And these guys up here are probably going, shh! The raiders are still out there. Oh, man. Can you imagine? What do you do with... Do you tell them to shut up? Or do you just... I know what I would have done. I would have gone down in that hole and grabbed me some bones of Elisha and then gone after out those raiding bands of marauders and kicked me some raiders' butt, man, because I got the bones of Elisha. What could they do to me? They could kill me. I'd come back to life. It'd be like Terminator 2, you know, the liquid metal Terminator. They'd shoot him and it would just heal right away. You know, he'd be out there. You could do some serious damage. I don't know. That's me. Doesn't say they did that. It was like radioactive, only instead of bringing death, it brought life. Praise God. Same thing in the New Testament. You see, I know you've heard of Jesus, obviously. Luke chapter 8, 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood, a hemorrhage, for 12 years, had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. This woman came from behind and touched the border of his garment, Jesus' garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And down in verse 46, Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived what? Power going out from me. She touched his clothes. She touched the hem of his garment. And that word power we looked at last week, dunamis. The miraculous, dynamic power of God went out of Jesus through his garment into that woman and healed her issue of blood. Now, next thing you know, people start hearing about this. Word goes out of what happened to this woman. Next thing you know, you go over to Matthew 14:34. Jesus is crossing the sea. And it says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only do what? Touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Ooh, I see a trend. Cool, man. So here's the Lord himself. People are simply touching the clothes he's wearing, and that power of God is going out and healing their diseases. And it doesn't even stop there. He's crucified, risen, goes up to heaven, sends out the Holy Spirit, and now you have Peter. Peter's out there preaching the gospel. And in Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 14, it says, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitude of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude were gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. Amen. Diseases and unclean spirits. So you didn't even have to touch his clothes. If you got close enough that his shadow would fall on you, that glory that was upon Peter that surrounded him, they would that cloud, as he would pass by, they would be touched by that presence of the glory of God. And they would be healed of diseases and unclean spirits, like we were just like before. It was torment to them. They couldn't abide in the presence of that glory, and they would flee. If I was a demon, I think I would flee too. It'd be like somebody taking, you know, a massive flamethrower and saying, okay, try some of this on for size. Praise God. That's the power of the kingdom of God. God demonstrating his power and authority over the devil with signs and wonders through his people. It reinforces the victory that Jesus won over Satan whenever that takes place. Whenever someone is delivered, whenever someone is healed, whenever God breaks through in power and does a mighty miracle or a mighty work in their life to deliver them from darkness and slavery and bondage to sin, that reinforces the victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross. It brings God glory and it brings blessing untold to those who are set free by that power. Praise God. Apparently, Paul was having a lot of success sending out aprons and handkerchiefs, folks getting healed and delivered and right and left, man, all because of this cloth that had been soaked in the glory of God.